The knives are out in Washington for the federal budget.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The White House has just unveiled its budget for the coming fiscal year. There are cuts in it, and then there are a few tax hikes. President Obama said just moments ago, the government must start living within its means.
When I was sworn in as president, I pledged to cut the deficit in half by the end of my first term. The budget I'm proposing today meets that pledge and puts us on a path to pay for what we spend by the middle of the decade.
But some critics say the cuts are too small and the spending is a little too big. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
The White House has announced $1.1 trillion in budget cuts over the next decade. The new budget predicts the deficit for the current year to reach $1.65 trillion. That's an all-time high. Most of the budget savings would come from cuts in spending rather than tax hikes. It freezes non-security spending for 5 years. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says that's, quote, completely unsustainable. Diane Lim Rogers is chief economist at the Concord Coalition. She agrees that the White House cuts don't go far enough and says some cuts that are proposed are too harsh on low-income households. Those include a program to help pay heating bills and Pell Grants for higher education.
The people that will lose are a very small fraction of the voting population. But that does not mean those cuts are palatable, are fair.
She says a budget focused on big-picture cuts rather than program-level trims would be more effective. But Congress can't focus too much on the White House budget for 2012 until it agrees on the budget for this year. Lawmakers have until March 4th to do that. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
We're getting reports of protesters gathering in Iran and Bahrain and Jordan and Algeria, all in the wake of demonstrations in Egypt over its now resigned President Hosni Mubarak. The country continues to reel economically after weeks of unrest. The stock market's still closed. Businesses are slowly trying to get back to work. And today, the British Business Secretary Vince Cable has called for an international effort to track down Mubarak's assets all around the world. The BBC's John Bithrie is with us from London with the latest. Hi, John.
Hello, Steve.
What steps have been taken already on this?
Well, on Friday, the Swiss government ordered its banks to freeze any Mubarak-related assets they held. You mentioned Vince Cable's call there as well. This all does seem to be gathering pace, but it may not be that easy, and it may be hard to prove that those assets were obtained illegally. You'd have to prove in court that Mubarak plundered the Egyptian economy for his own personal gain to get those assets. That may be harder to do than it sounds.
What is Mubarak worth, John?
Well, estimates vary widely. Some believe that his family's wealth could be worth as much as $70 billion, but there are much more modest estimates, including from officials in the US who believe the figure is much lower, something like $2 or $3 billion. Seems to be a mixture of property and company interests we're talking about in Egypt itself, some related to President Mubarak's son Gamal, who had been groomed to take over the presidency. The family also reportedly owned several properties elsewhere in the world, and according to the New York Times, the family also has interests in at least one investment fund based abroad.
All right. The BBC's John Bithrie in London. John, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Well, markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ up about a tenth of a percent. The S&P and Dow are both lower, though. The Dow off 30 points at 12,243. MGM Resorts said today it lost money last quarter, less than analysts had expected, though. And hotel chain Marriott reports later today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions since 1896. Allianzusa.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Borders, Books and Music could be filing for bankruptcy as early as today. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. And the retailer's troubles come partly from its failure to keep up with technology. And with a new machine that prints and binds e-books, it looks like things could get a little tougher for the big booksellers, as Tracy Samuelson reports.
When you print books for a living, there's one saying that never gets old.
Hot off the press.
That's Dane Neller, CEO of a company called On Demand Books. We're standing in an independent bookstore in New York next to a printer that On Demand has developed. The Espresso Book Machine is a bit bigger than a bathtub. It can print, trim, and bind a book in about the time it takes the cafe here to prepare your espresso.
You can buy in copyright books, public domain books, or if you had your own book, we could make it for you.
McNally Jackson Books recently installed the printer, the first of its kind in New York City, and charges between $10 and $15 for the books it prints. The machine has access to over 4 million titles, including the Google Books catalog. Sarah McNally is the store's owner. She hopes the wider selection will help her compete against big chains and Amazon.
We then become closer and closer to an infinite bookstore.
The printer turns ebook technology on its head, using digital files to print old-school, hard-copy books. Despite all the hype around ebooks, that's what most consumers still want, something they can hold with pages they can flip. Michael Norris is an analyst with Simba Information, a marketing research firm.
There are at least 5 or 6 print book buyers for every 1 ebook buyer.
On Demand will soon begin leasing its printers. Till now, it's sold more than 20 in the U.S. for just under $100,000 apiece, an investment that takes stores around 2 years to recoup. McNally says profit margins on books she prints will be 8 to 16% higher than books off the shelf. Still, the machine is a bit of a financial unknown.
But I think what it does represent is that this bookstore is a bookstore of the future, and it's finding new business models and remaining relevant to its community as the world around it changes.
In other words, innovation has its own value. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And finally, a few years back, I was cleaning out my parents' garage. I found what I thought was a collector's item. It was a big beige 8-track tape, Supertramp's Breakfast in America. I remember it. I thought about selling it on eBay, but I couldn't. Sent it to Bucks Burnett, who's opening this 8-track museum today in Dallas. The 8-track was the first music distribution system made for cars. I found that Supertramp 8-track, by the way, selling on eBay for $1.75. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's actually expensive to work here illegally, which is why a lot of people crossing the border choose to follow the rules.
It's better for us to go legally. If we have papers, we can return and spend time with our families. So we prefer to go and then come back.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the high-cost life of a legal worker. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.